I'm here with Ned Pruitt. You know, as always, this is the Never Eating Adventure podcast. We're talking, got to just got to get through the survivors. Is that working?
Absolutely 0 bit working right there.
Okay. Anyways, y'all, welcome. This is, sorry about that energy. This is an Adventure Time podcast. I just wanted to get through to see if I could use, I wanted to get through the intro so I could use vibrational chants to see if I could manipulate space and time to some degree. But I couldn't. But anyway, thank you so much.
When I make vibrational noises with my mouth like that, it affects the universe, because it usually has my wife come and, you know, smack me upside the head and go, "Don't make those noises."
Okay. Okay. Ned, too, I didn't know where you're going with that.
Smack me upside the head.
I'm about to smack you upside the head. Dog, what's up?
Not much.
Anyways, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of, an Adventure Time podcast, the Never Ending Adventure. Today, we're going to end up talking about season 5, episode 13, The Great Bird Man, which truly is not about a great bird man. The Great Bird Man, to me, is forever and always from Rick and Morty. Birdman, I think is his name.
or what was his name that used to play basketball all tatted up? Birdman?
Oh, yeah. Or Batman. Are bats birds?
No, bats are rats with wings.
Bats are rats with wings. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Bats are not birds. You've heard it here first. I also heard a very, I don't want to tangent too much, but man, I heard a really, really disturbing thing about the wasps and the figs. You know, forever ago, we had fig facts. Did I tell you my update to the fig facts?
The update on the fig facts, no. I don't think this is something we normally talk about or I ask about.
It's become a new Roman Empire for me, and I know that's not a thing that people still say, but I'm saying it, so whatever, because it describes how I feel about it.
It's now become an adjective, or a noun, like that as a whole different thing. That is my Roman Empire. I like that. Just that mentality.
So what's going on with the figs and the wasps, and it wigging me out, is we know, right, that a wasp goes into a fig. Every fig has a wasp. It's just a part of nature. But wasps go into figs pregnant. They lay their, kind of gross you out from figs. I'm sorry, y'all. They lay their eggs, and this is all from a TikTok thing that I watched, and then I did a very minor amount of research. They lay their eggs in it, and then the males hatch first. The males impregnate the female eggs.
And then go and die, right?
Yeah, they die. I think they die in the fig to give it nutrition or something like that. And then the females hatch already impregnated and leave and go find another fig to do the same cycle over and over again.
And doesn't that cycle happen within a week too? Terrifying. Like 1 week. Yeah.
That's wild. And this is how figs are fermented? That's how they become fruit or whatever.
Germinate is the right word for that.
I don't know. Regardless, absolutely nuts. The video I watched was way too graphic. I did not need to see a male wasp doing his thing. it was real weird. Anyways.
You got real planet Earth today, didn't you?
I know. Away from this, let's go another tangent, but more toward the episode. I wanted to talk about a very special cat that my fiance's family has named Salt. Now, the thing about Salt, it's a gray cat. And it is cute and it loves people. The issue is it loves to be spanked. And I have an issue with this cat. I'm not a big cat person. And this cat will literally lay across the back of a couch or something, giving you prime spanking position. Like it just wants its butt spanked. And it's so weird. It freaks me out.
My wife's old dog just passed away this last year, but it loved butt scratches so much though, probably butt pats. So you can call it little baby spanks.
Butt pats,
they just walk up to you, turn around, and then tap his back feet and just trying to get you to smack his butt.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about. This cat does that. It's always presenting its butt to you. I can't stand it. Now let's transition from there into our favorite Spanky boy, Sir Spanx-a-Lot, Zergiak, as we truly know him, the Silent King. No, actually, the Silent King is
Whisper Dan.
Whisper Dan, yes. Well, I say the Silent King because it is the first episode that he appears in. And to be fair, even to this day, after this episode, The Great Birdman, I really don't know much about Zergiak. As you know, this is my first time watching through the show. And dude, it's like from the first episode, he's gone within the first 30 seconds. You know, he gets kicked out immediately by Finn and Jake from the Goblin Kingdom. And we know he's a wizard because he does some wizard powers. So he has magic, even though in this episode, he claims the one that we're going to talk about today. He claims that he's not using magic. He's using vibrations.
I believe it. So like,
yeah,
but then we know in this universe,
we know he loves spanking hams, which I mean, who doesn't? I mean, you know,
getting spanking hams.
he appreciates a good sunset. And then he goes and spanks hams while he is.
Yeah, and apparently he also has nourishment capabilities for multiple different species as well.
Yes, we learned that today too. I don't. That's
something that we don't have to dive really deep into. But
it is what earned Zergiak the most punchable character for this episode for me. The num num time for sure. I can't believe he fed those baby birds his breast milk.
Yeah. Also, there's nothing necessary. Wow. There's so many of those birds around. Could those mama birds not nourish their babies? Like, what's going on here?
They're small, but they really take a lot out of you, as Zergiak says. I did want to note, this is, I didn't mean to go on another tangent so early. I had a friend in high school, Ned, who I guess this. You consider it lactating. He could literally...
Oh, that's so gross.
He could literally force liquid out of his chest. And I had really apologized, man, this episode, just bringing out some crazy stories. So listeners, please forgive me. But it was wild. He did it like after a class one day, and it freaking blew my mind. And
oh my gosh, is that just hormonal, like going through puberty hormonal imbalance thing?
I have or
is
no
that
idea. Like a genetic, I've never looked into it. Do you really think I went home and Googled this? I talked about it probably with some friends and said, I think I like literally this is going to be a moment that sticks in my brain for the rest of my life, forever scarred by what happened today at
school. Would be too, yeah. That's wild. I'm not to say that's not something I've heard that people can do, but the fact that you kind of just like happened at school and he just like did it out of the blue.
Yeah, pretty sure. I think technically anyone can do that. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't want to say anything. I have no idea.
It has to do with an aspect of
like a hormonal
balances. Okay. Yeah. Like men don't lactate per se because
we
don't have higher estrogen levels, but could if we imbalanced our estrogen levels higher.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
Wild. Well, let's go back to the Silent King. What do we know about the Goblin Kingdom, Neb? We know it's got living fountains. They got a royal game archive with hat controllers, dragon stables.
It's kind of like the a really cool kingdom.
It's kind of awesome.
Even better now. And also, we think it's probably not been that much time since the Flame Princess, we just talked about this last week as well, just had utterly destroyed a lot of the Goblin Kingdom. And it looks like now when we kind of pop up to it in the end of the episode, it kind of looks newer, a little bit more robotic, but
that was a season ago, right? Season 4, episode 1, hot to the touch when she burned the shit out of it. I mean, do they still have the king size beds? Do they still have the deprivation tanks? Do they still have the best part of the entire Goblin Kingdom, the goblin birthing pits?
The goblin they probably I would assume the goblin birthing pits are kind of the core part of the Goblin Kingdom that needs to stay around. But I don't know. I was trying to pick up on this, and I don't know if it was a continuation or something that was constant from the last episodes. But in this one, it's very odd that, I don't know if it has to do with the Zergiak's love of the colors. But when they get to the Goblin Kingdom, it's like everything outside is all gray with like very sparse, like little green trees. And I was like, I wanted to see if you had gone back. Was that a constant? I don't think that was a constant from the first time we see the Goblin King.
I don't remember. And it really stuck out to me as well. But for whatever reason, my mind didn't say, I should research that. I looked at it. I was like, this is really weird looking. But yeah, I have to assume this is how it was.
I don't know if it's just like it's part of, maybe it's like a something that are like they are located half between the Flame Kingdom and half between the Grasslands. Which again, that's why Flame Princess would have probably left the Flame Kingdom, Fire Kingdom, and gone. And the Goblin Kingdom would have been the nearest thing, where it's kind of on this halfway state between, the Grasslands and Fire Kingdom. I don't know that for sure, though. I just thought it was very interesting, and probably, we know what Adventure Time loves the colors. They even express it in this episode that Zergiok wants to fly above the clouds, wants to see what was it like the beauty of the blue and yellowish tint of the sunlight as it hits the Goblin Kingdom, whatever.
Yeah, I love that it's the desert description there. Actually, it's something. It reminded me of why I love the sunsets and all that. Like he explains it better than I ever could. High in the clouds, bathed in the pink and blues of the desert twilight. Like, beautiful. Yeah. What a beautiful thing to say.
So it makes me think that the artists of Adventure Time have to be doing this on purpose. If they tell a lot of their stories through colors and settings, and that the Goblin Kingdom is either that, or the Goblin Kingdom needs Zergiok to have a little bit of like energy. Is Whisper Dan a boring king? But I'm going to chalk it up to the Fire Kingdom. That's what I'm going to think.
You know, it's really interesting. I'm Googling images of the Goblin Kingdom, and everything that's coming up outside of the Goblin Kingdom itself is gray. Like the grass is all gray, but then for whatever reason, inside the Goblin Kingdom itself, it's browns, you know, like dirt colors and stuff.
Yeah, dirt and stuff.
So I'm really not sure what's going on with that, but I have to assume, I can't find anything with the big battle with the ear clopses or whatever they're called. Can't find that on Google, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Regardless,
not sure.
If you have an answer for us, or if you do know that one, that was kind of a stumper for me for sure.
Yeah, but feel free to write. I don't think I saw anything on the wiki either. Yeah, please write in nea.travelerslog@gmail.com. Curious to know. That'd be really fascinating to hear.
But we have the Goblin Kingdom now. Going back, I think it's very interesting also to point out that Zergiok's thing in the Goblin Kingdom also is that he had this magic wand. And that was, yes. I don't know if that innately just made him powerful enough amongst the other goblins to be their king and, you know, power, like control them essentially with a magic wand.
Well, but the goblins are pretty, they're like open to whatever. I mean, if you remember at the end of that episode,
they were like, who's going to spank me now?
Well, yeah. I mean, they wanted to be spanked by Finn, or like, oh no, don't punish us. I guess they didn't want it. They were like, don't punish us, please, whatever you do.
Yeah.
But then also at the very end, when Whisper Dan becomes the king, they're like oblivious. They have no idea what's going on. When they didn't have a ruler for a minute, pure chaos broke out. And there were riots and all these things. And they're like, oh, we have a king. Okay, fine. We're back to, even though he's done nothing. What did he say?
Who's going to stop me from like punching myself?
Yeah, they're just back to like being normal. Yeah. Even though the king has done absolutely nothing, they're just afraid of the spankings. But then Whisper Dan at the very end, they're just like, one of the goblins is raising his hand to like for the chants and stuff. It's really, they just want to be ruled. They want a fair and just ruler, but they need somebody because they are ridiculous. And I kind of love them. And I got to say, the goblins, especially the goblin guards in this episode, are my lovelies.
Give me some sugar, baby.
I love it. I wrote them down first as my lovely. And then I had to think it through a little bit more. And I don't think that they made it. But I do like, he's like, what is he like? Hey, Scott, is that your actual real laugh? And he's like, oh my God.
Yeah, he throws his coffee all over him.
It sounds like a good job, like hanging out, just guarding the kingdom, getting to a couple coffee in the morning. Not a bad gig.
They're just so afraid of Zergiok, man. And I don't blame him at all. I mean, again, rewatching that first episode with him, he is a fiend. He is obsessed with spanking hams and really brutal. And you see it in this episode. It kind of ends up destroying his plan. Like it's the reason he's foiled is because he so selfishly is like, I just need to spank something when he gets his eyesight back, and he spanks Cardamon, his bird, and then all the birds feel betrayed and they leave him. And then he has a really funny moment where he's just like, I think I'm going down or something.
I know he's like, I think I'm hitting bottom again. Yep. I just hit bottom again.
Yep. I just hit bottom.
but I think this is an intense moment. And then like as much as it's kind of just like a funny little moment, that is kind of the full circle Zergiok story here, is that what I brought up about the magic wand is also important. So he's got the magic wand in the first Silent King episode.
Eaten by
Ben
Fen.
And Jake defeat him pretty easily. The first time, didn't defeat him pretty easily with the Jake suit the second time.
Do you think they could eat the wand if it wasn't for the fact that they ate brooms in the wizard episode? He's like used to eating wood now. I don't know. Anyways, continue, Ned. Sorry.
Regardless, the big thing, Zergiok leaves after the Silent King and obviously goes off and begins meditating. He's obviously, that was the first time he quote unquote hit bottom. So what he started doing was obviously doing meditation at the end of the day. So I guess a lot of this meditating slowed his life down. The desire for power disappeared in his life. Now he was like, my desire was to be powerful over the goblin people. Spank them, be their king, whatever.
There are now, weird rumors about him though, right? Like I couldn't figure out why Princess Bubblegum said, oh, he's rumored to be half man, half bird, and he poops fire or something. Like, it sounds like pretty terrifying rumors that are going on around their space or in the land of Ooo about Zergiok. I couldn't figure out, I mean, whether it was watching this episode, like why that is the case. He's just a dude who seems so peaceful. Like you even get later on a really sweet moment with the Braille letters from the hospital being like, thank you so much for donating. Well, first your off, kidneys. Both your kidneys, not just one, but both your kidneys. And do keep in mind, I was like, okay, what exactly does a kidney do? I didn't study this in school. They filter out half a cup of blood every minute, removing waste and extra water from your urine or to make urine. So pretty essential, man. You can't be giving away both of your kidneys. Wild.
Can't do that. But
no.
The big thing, well, and I love how that's the his story he's telling. He's like, I went from being powerful as the Goblin King. I've given up all my power. Now my only, he goes complete 180 too. And he goes complete like, now, not only do I not want to be powerful, I'm willing to give everything up for, I can't remember the exact phrase he says, but pretty much for the betterment of everything else. And my job is to share myself. So everything, and it's like from all the beasts like you to the dirt. And they're like, the dirt, well, he picks up the dirt and he's like, hello, my friends, have a fun ride. So he's,
I wrote that down because it's fascinating. It's really him saying, because he loves his birds more than himself, this is why he poses this question. But it's an incredibly deep question. He's like, what am I to the deafening roar of the macrocosms? Mm-hmm. And this is nothing much, just a vessel to carry the message of friendship to all beasts and dirt. I mean, it is truly just him being like all about preaching love and giving and kind of like the things that I hope that we try and preach a little bit, not preach, but try and, you know, give off with this podcast is like, it's about loving other people and just like having a good time and being with friends and like, journeying through life together, sort of a thing, you know.
Yeah,
and I would, give
would you
him
call
a hug.
That the would you call you that know? The like again? We were talking about the character alignments last week. Mm-hmm. Would you call this chaotic good? Like he's so good, and he sees himself mm-hmm. as so much just in touch with the universe that he's good to his own detriment. You know, like you know what I mean?
Temporarily,
so nihilistic and so it's gotta existential. Be chaotic. That he's willing to take on the broken leg and give up his kidneys and be milked and like,
breastfeed. Yeah, I was gonna say, I'd give him a hug if it wasn't for the fact that we know that he's breastfeeding birds and stuff.
But here's my theoretically speaking of the episode.
Theoretically speaking.
It's that I think his eyes being in his beard. Now, that's kind of a funny concept. And he's like, I don't know where that wizard idea came from, that a wizard came and stole his eyes to make a potion. That in his meditation, maybe he was realizing that I have to make myself less powerful and have zero desire to be powerful. And I can't do that unless I'm meditating all the time. So basically, I think that he took his own eyes out and put them in his beard and subconsciously technically knows that they're there, but also he's so in touch with his third eye, whatever you want to call it. That they're like, he's in that constant state of a meditative state to be to now where he's using not magic as his power, but the universe, the vibrational energy of the universe as his quote unquote power. And he's way more powerful than he's ever been, but not having his eyes means that he would never want to use it for his own personal gain. And I think that's all kind of his third eye telling him that, like, you're going to get really powerful, but you've got to take your eyes out or else it's, you're going to become selfish again. And thus you're going to lose that power. You can't have your cake and eat it too,
yeah.
which is what he kind of realizes at the end, you know?
What a fascinating theory. So you're saying it's self-imposed, the reason yeah. he goes through this transformation. But I wonder, I don't know. I don't know if it feels like it aligns with the moment where he is told that his eyes were in his beard the whole time. And then, like, do you think he just subconsciously forgot it? Like, he just, like, deleted the memory that yeah, he put like, in his beard it's kind of for one of those his own things, sake?
Yeah, like if you, like, I like, I'm trying to think, I always like to think in kind of metaphorical senses here. So I was thinking, like, you know, what if it was like, okay, a person who's really, really in shape and they go to the gym a lot and they are just like the peak athletic, yeah. healthy.
You could just
person.
Say my name. You can just say just,
it's me. Just Russell. Just Russell. but I'm talking, all. But you have to deprave yourself of things in order to kind of be in that heightened, healthy state. You can't eat sugar all the time. You have to spend time committing going to the gym. You have yep. to listen to your, like, it's kind of that thing where the peak athletic, whatever, takes a lot of self-sacrifice, takes a lot of focus, and takes a lot of, like, essentially not being focused on other things, like, AKA Zergiak yeah, being focused
on a ton of time out of
power.
Your life.
Yeah. yeah. And treating, I guess, your body.
Everything.
This is why it's not a perfect metaphor, because it is, that would be ultimately selfish, and he's not doing it for any selfish yeah. reason. So I would say the introduction of his eyes, or again, the lack thereof, that he deletes his eyes from his memory, would be like, yes, I want to go and be in peak physical form, but the only thing holding me back is like chocolate cake. So like somehow you just delete yeah. the fact that you chocolate cake's your favorite food. And then Finn and them going back is like, they're not doing anything bad, but they're kind of putting the chocolate cake back in front of them. Like, hey, you're really powerful now. Hey, you're really fit now. Like, of course you can like splurge on some chocolate cake, and then you yeah. just, and then you could totally backslide, like whatever your backslide. And that's,
I like
you
it.
Could
I
put
like
that
it.
In the sense of alcoholism, you know, you could be in the peak form of your life, but Zergiak's eyes are like alcohol, like, and he's an alcoholic and he backslides every time so he's like, I can't be in this powerful, like very actually powerful state where I'm also really happy, but also have my vision. That's like, it's his backslider. So he purposefully, I think the first time, just like the second time, please take my eyes. I'm not going to be my best self with them.
You yeah.
know? So that's, that Dang, was where man. I got that's really good. Like deep with it, you know?
I know, I love that. And I think it plays really well right into one of my deeper thoughts, which is talking about kind of in times of struggle, how we look inwardly and how we make adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you're just, saying like, off. Oh no, you're good. You're good. Like, and you're saying times of struggle, like the first time he's out and alone, like, and
no, I'm talking
like,
about
meditating
so
or
I'm thinking when he loses his eyes, cause I wasn't thinking from your theory, right? When I wrote my notes, but it certainly, I think plays into it. He takes his eyes out. So he's struggling. He's blind.
Oh, like okay, let's, life, he let's has say to he survive. Does believe he has that somebody to, took his eyes and then
yeah.
that.
Or yeah, even, even in the situation, just the situation that he's all of a sudden blind. He had never yeah. been blind before, right? A time of struggle. He has to figure things out. He has to learn how to survive. He has to learn how to move forward, take bigger steps, you know, like in any sort of a moment in life where you're struggling. I think a lot of people tend to look inward and make adjustments to their lives in order mm-hmm. to compensate or in fear almost of whatever the thing is, if it, especially if it's a sickness or something like that, that yeah. is causing the struggle. They would look inwardly or even look toward a more spiritual purpose. So for Zergiak, in my mind, I was like, oh, all of a sudden he was blind and it forced this change upon him. And we see how temporary it is. Of course, he gets his eyesight back, he goes right back into it. But I think it's easy for those adjustments that to be lost as soon as the time of suffering is gone. So I was thinking of and sometimes it can be permanent, but think of like someone quitting cigarettes, and this is from someone in my family mm-hmm. because of a lung issue, right? And I want to say, and I can't remember, it's been years and years, but my grandfather had, I want to say it was a lung cancer scare or something like that. And all I remember is him going out to the porch and smoking cigarettes. And that was like his thing, you know, like he's a handyman. He grew up his whole life probably smoking cigarettes. I know at one point a long time ago he had to quit alcohol, and then he is sober, right? And then all of a sudden it was like the scare happened, and then he had to quit cigarettes, and it forced his hand. It forced a change, you know.
But it forced
he didn't permanent change. He didn't go back.
He didn't see the change was needed until the
until
event
the
happened.
Scare. And yeah, I think that kind of happened with Zergiak in a way. And I thought of it too, like
losing his eyes, or the scare was losing his throne.
Yeah, losing his eyes. I think losing his throne, and then he was probably just being a jerk to people in my mind. And then because he said he miffed off a wizard. Wizards are everywhere, you know. Yeah. Like he was a douchebag and super arrogant and stuff.
It does sound like something that Magic Man would do. Like take somebody's eyes and just put them back in their beard. Like that does sound like a Magic Man move.
Yeah. But it even seems like, you know, with his meditating and all that stuff, like, and centering his chi, and he kind of talks in ways that sound spiritual in my own mind, like focusing on yoga. Those are all activities that like you're looking inward or looking for a deeper purpose. And that happens all the time in times of struggle where someone dedicates themselves fully to God or whatever, you know, or discovers a God or their God or, you know, God for the first time. It's happened to people in my family. I know when I was sick when I was younger, like I definitely went through a phase of like really dedicating myself, like praying a ton, all that stuff. And with like OCD that occurred because of the sickness, like having to fully give in and let God in my mind, like take over. And, cause I just couldn't handle the anxiety of like, I had to touch this thing so many times and with my right finger, blah, 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 or else I'm going to get sick again, you know, like fear of that. And I had to let something else take over essentially. And so like, once I got through the sickness or whatever, it was very easy to just go back to normal and not be going to church all the time and all that stuff, you know? And so it's interesting that he reverts backwards so quickly, but I think it makes sense. Like he's not struggling
anymore.
Like
what you're saying, as soon as the struggle is gone, you can immediately, again, that's kind of like, then your example is much better than that, obviously. Like obviously the sickness be like, I'm better now. Boom. I don't need to go be spiritual anymore. Like that's such a, I feel like a common experience for a lot of people out there, especially people who grew up in any sort of religious or spiritual home at all too. I had a good kind of thought as when I just thought is really again, kind of what he's doing in terms of this. It's like you said, Zen or chakra or I can't remember the words you just used.
The chi.
Yeah. Is that so? I was like, okay, this is going to be a rabbit hole to try to go down on in the internet and be like, all the vibration. There's going to be 1,000 different theories of thought and 1,000 people that do.
I think about Naruto when I think about chi. So
yeah, well, I mean, there's just too much. There's too much out there. Some people that do, you know,
or chakra, mostly.
Zen Buddhist meditations, and people that do sound bathing, and people that so there's too much out there. But again, I kind of went with the vibrational mentality of it. Okay. So like, What's that? I mean, he's like the vibrational energies of the universe. And so people that, this is just pulled off of one random person. But like they're an aura reader and a healer. And they said they notice that this usually happens when we're not grounded well, and the inflow of our cosmic energy spiraling down from our chakras overwhelms our body's energetic systems. We tend to vibrate too strongly sometimes. Well, people start to literally shake during intense flows. So slow down the vibrations. I recommend that you begin the exercise with grounding meditation, which you simply imagine strong roots of a tree going down from your root chakra into the deep earth. Let this energy go deep into the earth until you feel a sense of balance, and then intend in your mind that all excessive energy that flows through my chakra will now be grounded into Mother Earth for its healing. This literally creates an energetic connection to earth so that your energetic system remains protected and shielded, even if the energetic flow becomes too strong. So I think it's just a good thought in this sense with Zergiak that his chakra is so powerful because he can vibrate on such that high intensity, and all of it is going out to heal the birds and heal the earth. And literally that's why I think that the minute he mentions the dirt is that it's like, it's not just the birds. It's like everything that he can give energy to at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, And it makes him that much more powerful. The fact that he's giving it all away. And so that's why I also, it's not really a theoretically speaking per se, but I think the minute he puts his eyes back in and all of that chakra energy is not given back to the earth, he's just going to lose his powers immediately. You know what I mean? I don't think he would have that power anymore. Or at least
does he take his eyes back out when he changes legs with Jake at the end? He might, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He takes his
own eyes. But he does have his eyes in when he initially takes Jake's leg. So at first he saw his, but I could definitely see that. Eventually he will lose that power over time if he remains inside. I think that's definitely possible.
He obviously also doesn't have, and I don't know theory. If he's actually controlling the birds, but obviously he doesn't have enough power anymore to like force the birds to attack the Goblin Kingdom. You know?
No, and I don't think he ever was. I think it was purely out of his friendship and love for the birds and that's his caring that they were, because that's why they were so quick to betray him at the end when he started spanking them, you know, when truly he betrayed them first. I think it was really interesting. I mean, I recently had seen something talking about, you know, like our heartbeats and how it gives off some sort of a, and I don't know if I believe any of this.
It's like,
but
no, like the electrical, sort of
electrical,
like your
field
hearts actually produce
something.
Electrical energy. Yeah.
Yes. Right. And so that's why you can tell if someone's like being in a good mood or a bad mood gives off a certain energy or frequency that people within like 3 feet or something of you can feel or whatever. I don't know how I feel about all that, but I will say, like, you definitely have a weird, like, I can sense, like, the vibe of someone. Like, I can sense when someone is, like, I mean, and it gives off because the way they look, the way that they're expressing, the way they're talking, all that stuff, but it can affect you. It's crazy that how infectious
physically,
positive and negative emotions are toward you from other people, not to the degree that I can change my legs with somebody else's legs just by creating a vibration, but. But certainly there is something to that. And so it is ridiculous as his vibrations changing space and time, or not time, but space is in a way, it almost feels like it's based sort of in some sort of a realistic world kind of, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's maybe even the reason I brought up the whole like definition thing is like the what they're doing with Zergyak. That's why it's really cool. He's like, it's not magic. I'm just doing this with the vibration. Yeah. I was like, actually, that's like a theory of thought in the real world. I don't know how much I necessarily would back and believe it 100%, but there are aspects of it that have to be somewhat real. You know, like you said, the heart's electric and you can feel people's vibes and the whole thing about, you know, even if it's energy or if it's love or if it's just kindness and humanity, that when you put your chakra roots into the ground and spread positive energy, like it usually comes back to you in the same way. You know?
Yeah. No, I like it. I definitely feel like there is power. I mean, even in a very broken down sense of like meditation, like I think that's incredibly powerful, even just personally, you know, something that I'd like to implement more in my life. But dude, anyways, I do want to talk a little bit. There is a scene that I felt was very heart felt or whatever, or really just a moment where I was like, oh, okay, this, maybe he has changed. And so I want to give just a moment of benefit, even though we know that he didn't change. But the fact that when Finn and Jake scared Cardamon and Cardamon flew up, hits the ceiling, gets knocked out, and then a slad tight, I think, falls on his leg.
Yeah, on his leg.
And Zergyak goes in there and he traded a broken leg. Like, think of how painful a broken leg is. And he straight up goes in there, he's like, let me take your like pain, you know, like he's this freaking Jesus figure all of a sudden, Zergyak. And he's like, let me take your broken leg and I'll deal with that pain. And you can have my shorter, smaller leg. Like it is a sweet moment. It's no wonder the birds like dedicated so much of their like love and life to him.
I think I had a little pause moment right there as well and was like, okay, Finn and Jake are trying to figure out if Zergyak still has evil intentions, they still don't really believe him 100%, even after reading the Braille stuff about him giving away his kidneys. And I think that has to show or state that like the ultimate good thing, I don't know, this is maybe too much of a ultimatum type statement, but like to take on someone else's pain totally by your own choice for the good of them with no selfish intentions is probably one of the most selfless loving acts possible.
Yeah.
Like it's
something
very
that
selfless.
You you really only hear parents say that about their kids. Like, that's mm-hmm. the only scenario, or like a grandparent. Oh, I wish I could take this pain wish I could from take the you, pain, or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's the only time I've ever heard that or someone say that in my life and really mean it, like really fully mean it, is like, like again, when I was sick forever ago, one day mm-hmm. we'll talk about what I was sick with and stuff on the podcast. But, you know, like, I know I don't really remember if this is a true memory or not, but I feel like I remember my dad being like, I wish I could take this from yeah. you. Like, I wish I could trade places with you, sort of a thing, you know, so you didn't have to go through this, you know, when you're 14 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty incredible thing for him to do, and almost incredibly convincing that, like, yeah, he has changed. The one thing that would stop me from believing that he's changed, the biggest red flag, is his singing. The song that he sings, dog.
It is not going to end up in the top 5 songs for season 5, I can no, tell you that much.
A real unforgettable kind of David Bowie. If David Bowie couldn't sing, this is what it would sound like. It sucks. But yeah, I will say, I've been singing, fuels me with real power. I've just been saying that throughout the house some, and it's kind of a shame that that's stuck in my head. Like, is this what happens?
I was hoping that you'd be walking around the house singing the dungeon song from last week.
No, the dungeon song was so good. But is this what happens now that Rebecca Sugar, I mean, if this is correct with the timeline, she's not writing the music anymore. Back. And so all of a sudden, the music is going to be this. Do we have any other good songs for the rest of Adventure Time?
Yes,
Ned?
We absolutely have good songs for the rest of Adventure Time.
I don't believe it, dude. I think it's all downhill. Oh my gosh.
I still don't. It's almost hard to beat the, it always makes me think back to season one with the finding the house. Like, oh, look at that little house.
Oh, I love that one.
He's sticking his foot in. Like, that was such a good little ditty. And like, I don't know if we've really gotten at too many that may be better than that one so far.
Could you think of a song that happens after this moment that sticks out as much as some of the ones that we got in season 3 or 4?
In a non-spoiler drop, there's some intense scenes with like Marcy and her past, and there's the best song of the show, in my opinion.
The best
song of the show comes out of Marceline's past story.
Wow. You need to look up the beginning. Maybe she came back.
I think it was Olivia. I think she might have written it. That or Rebecca Sugar might have written it. I think it's sung by Olivia Olson. But
yeah, certainly. That is so fascinating. I'm so curious about that.
It's called Everything Stays. Yes, and which
I've heard people talk about it.
Definitely heard it and featured artist Olivia Olson. Let me see if there is a writer.
Look at BMI.com.
Everything Stays. It's the first song that Rebecca Sugar wrote for Adventure Time after leaving the show to work on.
Wow. Okay. So she's still going to come back some. And
she comes back
with
and writes
one.
The good stuff. Yes. Yeah. So you do have maybe a quick minute. Let me see even what episode that's in.
Yeah.
I think it's season 7, episode 7. It's in the Stakes miniseries.
Okay. Man, well, that's awesome. Okay. I'm glad we have more coming from her in the future. And it does make me want to watch the show that she wrote, Steven Universe, at some point, certainly. And there are so many that I want to watch. I was just scrolling through even like anime stuff. It sucks. I hate that my list of anime that I want to watch will forever get bigger and bigger, and I'll never be able to like watch half of it.
Any anime show is somewhat of a scary feat to take on, because you're like, I'm about to be really invested, even if it's 30 episodes, you know?
We're over 1,000 in the One Piece at this point.
Have mercy. I don't know how you do it. I guess it's only because you can do one episode of Adventure Time at a time, and then you can go binge 15 One Pieces after that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're, 22-minute episodes, and you just fly through them. You're cutting off the intro song and the outro song, and you're just flying through episodes. Yeah. Let's not get into One Piece. Let's keep talking about Adventure Time.
Let's wrap this episode. I don't have too much. We got to my theories, my deep thoughts, mm-hmm. your deep thoughts. I liked that our deep thoughts were very much in line on this one. And I wanted it to be deep. It was deeper than just being like, yeah, he's just like aligned with his chakras. Da, 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 da.
I got a tops. You want to hear my tops for this episode?
I'd love to hear your tops.
So it's actually right at the end of this episode when Finn puts his eyes back in his beard. I thought that was just the funniest moment. He says, take my eyes and bury them forever. And he just is like, yeah, all right, guy.
He just puts them right back in
the beard.
I don't think Finn's like, I'm done with this adventure. And
I'm done with Zodiac.
I'm not going to go waste my time burying his eyes where he can never find them. That's on him.
I love that they didn't even have to fight him. He caused his own downfall. Like, it was really a funny way to end the episode and a refreshing way to end the episode in my mind. Yeah. But
went full circle with a good character arc that he's now blind, happy again, and dating I'd honestly say also, really the first time Adventure Time's done really anything over-sexualized with the Big Booby Mermaid. Like, it's very sexualized.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, when he comes out of the water, and I just thought it was very not on brand with Adventure Time so far. You know what I mean?
Well, hey man, love cures all. Apparently, he was so sad. He walks into the reservoir. Apparently, the dive people are like, "Should we rescue him? Is he okay?"
Yeah, they were beaching something themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the mermaids were depressed. We're depressed and lonely, and so it was a. It was a good kind of like, you know, I guess the universe, finds a way.
Finds a way, yeah. Love cures all. That is my lesson for this episode, 100%. I don't know why.
Yeah, my tops were just Jake and Finn's faces when Zerkiok says, suckle, suckle. Not my tops moment of the show, but their faces are just like pure horror. And I love that. And then I had my backup tops was just... I love the little moment with the, like you said, like your lovelies was my like backup tops. Was just,
it's a good moment.
Just like, oh God.
Yeah. It's an episode that really grows on you. I think this, the more I watched it, the more I really enjoyed it. I would almost say it's not worth an 8. It's not an 8 out of 10, but it's definitely a 7.5 Spanx out of 10 Spanx for me.
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely probably a weak 7. Maybe a 6.5 for a 6.5 eyes in the beard for me.
Eyes in the beard. That's like 3.5 pairs of eyes.
Yeah, 3.5 pairs of eyes. Did you learn anything like real deep about yourself, man?
No, just that love cures all. That's all I learned. Maybe I learned something about like. Struggle causes temporary change sometimes, but sometimes it causes permanent change. That's not a lesson. I don't know. What'd you learn?
Yeah. I learned that Braille is cool because Jake's ex was not blind, but he or she, I guess we don't really know, could read Braille, and that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Though if someone was bragging about it, it depends on what you do with that. If you just know how to read Braille because that's just something you wanted to do and you're not like showboating it, awesome. If you're bragging about it constantly, sounds really like a hipster douchey thing to do. Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna teach myself Braille just so I can. No, like,
people said it's so hard to learn how to read Braille if you have your eyesight. Like, it's so much of one of those things where like your brain it will not wire itself to like learn Braille. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong on this. I just heard somebody saying like, yeah, like if you're blind, it's hard to learn how to read Braille, but like that's all you have. There is no other option, and your brain will wire itself to where you can learn Braille like relatively quickly. If your brain can't wire itself to hey, I can just read this in a book, your brain will like mentally block you from like learning and relying on that sense of touch. Like it won't heighten your sense of touch just by practicing. I don't know. I could be totally
wrong. That's
pretty
cool. But dude, this is a freaking episode of that. I'm sorry, y'all. I just realized this is 40 minutes of us staying.
Good tangents.
I don't really know if this is a thing. I read it somewhere.
A lot of things I've seen and heard in my life. And then, well, the other thing is that we tangent so well, I was like, I would have researched that maybe a little bit more if I knew we were going to tangent on it.
It shows that we're only so smart. We can only know so many things. Hey, if we were tangenting about Pokemon, I got us covered.
I got you. That's
we're not doing that.
I like to put the disclaimers on that because I don't want people messaging in being like, you're on a podcast and you think you know everything. I'll be like, I'm on a podcast. And that means I know, I have approximate knowledge of all things. my real lesson is it's easy to get humbled by others but at the same time, it's hard to stay humbled by your own accord, which is, I think, again, Zergiok's best arc, is that he humbles himself on his own accord. He gives up his eyesight in order to do the right thing, instead of having lost his eyes or having been defeated by Finn and Jake. He finally makes that motion to be better on his own accord, not due to the circumstances around him.
So, yeah,
that's my big lesson.
That's rad. Well, man, let's get into a traveler's log. I think.
Yeah, let's do it. It's been at least 3 or 4 episodes since we've had one.
It's been a minute. I think we got a lot that I thought we had a lot more than we did. They were like, "Hey, you should have this guy on your podcast." It was people reaching out about the letter, like, have nothing in common with us. It was wild. I was like, why would this person be on our podcast? Or it was brands being like, hey, we should do a TikTok collaboration. But it was like, do you know what we post on TikTok? Like, we post clips from an Adventure Time podcast with Adventure Time. Like, it's not us doing dances or something. So I don't know, real goofy. And also half of them are spam. It's not real, you know, whether it's like, do it for free, please. And maybe we'll give you some product. Silly.
Oh, yeah.
So we do have a traveler's log this week, though, which is good. Our traveler's log is, I'll just go ahead and read it. It's from, well, I guess his name is Meat.
Probably DJ not. Meat?
He DJ says, Meat? Good day. I'm Meat Greek Ball, but you guys can call me DJ Greek Ball. Anime-esque charismatic wink. I have 3 questions for you. Now, these are some pretty big questions. So this,
oh, Lord.
Let's try not to take too much time talking about it. And honestly, you're not prepared. So
I can do expedited deep thoughts.
Yeah. I'm messaging you all the way from Tasmania, which is awesome.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, right. So I was actually joking with Ali. I'm like, what do I know about Tasmania? They have devils. They, I have no idea.
Maybe all I know, and that is probably really great weather and beaches, I would assume.
Yeah, maybe so. So I would love to know both of your general thoughts on Tasmania as a whole. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, man.
I think out of the blue, cool. I know it's islandy. It's got the devils. It's probably, like kind of like Australia, where there's probably not just lots of scary animals, but from my very minimal knowledge, I think it is supposed to be like paradise of gorgeous beaches, gorgeous jungle, kind of like tropical style. I could be wrong, but that's my pulling out of the hat.
Dude, I only know the Looney Tunes Tasmanian Devil, and it is an island. I just googled it, so that's cool. Anyways, another thought. Let's see. What song, and then in parentheses, or music genre changed your life? Man, huge question. Music genre that changed my life? Honestly, probably like the Beatles, like classic rock. Mm-hmm. I think the awakening of that took me out of boy bands. So I'll say that's what changed my life. Is I go, oh my gosh, the Beatles are awesome.
Well, we have a wonderful episode in our NEA Beyond podcast that you can find through Patreon and subscribe. I think on our $5 lovelies tier, you can actually subscribe and listen to this podcast. But we walk through both of us most influential albums, kind of growing up, not best albums, not favorite albums, but most influential. So that leads to this question. My quick answer is like pop punk and screamo really changed my music taste. Don't like screamo as much anymore, but that took me down a road where music became much more of a passion, and screamo was very much a passion driven taste of mine, I would say.
Ned, you can just say ska. You can literally just say ska. I know ska is huge for you.
Zeros. Actually, I love pop punk, love rock and roll. I hate ska. I don't get behind Real Big Fish or.
Okay, I like ska. Anyways, moving on. Cake. Cake is not a ska band, but basically.
I don't like Cake either.
Dude, Cake is awesome. They're practically a ska band.
I don't know.
No doubt started. Gwen Stefani's band started as a ska band.
I like some No Doubt stuff, but if you started throwing some horns behind Gwen Stefani, I don't know if I'd be on board.
Well, anyways, how did you meet each other? Ned, do you remember how we met? That was probably college. It was definitely college. We had a class together.
Yeah, I mean, I think I knew who you were from like passings in the dining hall or like we ended up at a table of 15 people, and I was like, hey, this is everybody at the table.
And I knew some BYX guys, you know, and you were a part of BYX.
Yeah. And so I was like, but like, I'm trying to remember
fraternity thing.
What did we, I'd called the real version of that. I think we had some classes together, but you know, we are always on a row of like six people that all kind of knew each other.
Yeah.
I'd say it was, I'm probably more Nashville when I finally moved up there, got closer
in Nashville. Yeah.
But I'd say that's kind of the first time when we were like, you're here, I'm here, like, let's go be friends. Like, not just circumstantial, we're in the same place together, you know?
But I know we were texting that summer when you were out in California a little bit.
Yeah, because we were going through, like, I think just finding music industry jobs.
Trying
like,
to be in the music industry, and I'm sure we bonded over that a little bit, and then you moved out there. But, yeah, it's so weird how, you know, all that stuff blurs together, especially freshman year of college, which is probably when we initially met. That year is such a big blur, and it's not because of drinking or whatever.
It was just every night doing something. Like new
meeting people, whatever. We had a very very social. I mean, we were part of the Christian community of University of Georgia, so we were just like, I mean, I could tell you, like, I would go to a party with like 200 people, and I could tell you everyone's name and like a moment that we had, like hanging out at a dining hall or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on meal plan for all 4 years. So constantly meeting people. And that's kind of what, you know, helped that. But anyways, for Ned, especially, how did you end up finding Adventure Time?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it was the summer after when was I coming back from? Where was I my sophomore year? Maybe back from Memphis, I think. I think I had like watched some Adventure Time through college and I liked it. But I think at that point, the show was in season 6 or 7 in 2013. Was that 14? And I think, again, I think one of my roommates also was just like, I like this show a lot. We should start watching it together. And we like, I think started back at season 1, powered through the rest of the seasons, and then like kept watching it as the show like wrapped up. So I think that would have been 2014, 13, around there.
Yeah.
Found it. I think it was just because it was right when streaming services were around and we had a Hulu subscription. I was like, let's watch it, you know?
That's right. It's crazy the thing that you didn't watch it initially, like when it was coming out. Yeah. It was post. Because I saw a couple episodes because of my younger sister when I was in high school, certainly. But all right, last question. And lastly, for Russell specifically, what are some of your favorite pop culture media? So very broad there. I'm going to, the real answer
big question
is probably One Piece or Star Wars. I don't know, but I'm going to go ahead and say Rugrats. And the reason I'm going to say Rugrats is because on the Patreon after this, me and Ned are about to talk about our favorite movie, or not favorite movies, but most influential movies.
Yeah, movies that altered the course of our movie taste, like we just said we did with music. Sorry.
Yeah, and I'm going to say Rugrats in Paris may be on my
list. May make your list? I like it.
I really love the Rugrats growing up. But anyways, DJ Greekball signing out fades away like Master Oogway, which, funny enough, Master Oogway, one of my movies that are on my, what is it? Not memorable. Freaking, gosh. What's it called?
I have no idea what you're trying to say at this point.
The extra ones, the ones that you want to say but didn't spend
talking about. Oh, your honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. Good gosh, man. It's Sunday. my honorable mentions is Kung Fu Panda because it's just an incredible movie. But we'll get into that in a minute, Ed. Thank you so much, listeners, everybody, for following and reviewing us on, you know, whatever podcast app you listen to. Rate us on Spotify, please. That helps a ton. If you really want to support the podcast, huge shout out to everyone that supports us on Patreon. I mean, it goes a long way. I mean, we do pay for production, and just having someone several people help us on Patreon to pay for that, it helps a ton, man. It's you know, a lot. And we've been doing this is the 136th episode of this podcast. But yeah, support the podcast if you can. You know, don't feel like you have to, but if you can, there's also a $1 option and you get a part of the Discord and also newsletters and stuff like that that we're sending out. And I'm looking forward to being a little bit more active on the newsletter front of it. That's been
socials,
a lot
we got,
harder
yeah, you're, with. You're putting together as well. Our newsletter this month, right?
Yep. Yeah, okay, I'm on that.
Coming out soon.
That's patreon.com/neverendingadventurepodcast, Instagram at neverendingadventurepodcast, TikTok at neverendingadventurecast, Twitter at NEA_podcast. Email us your thoughts, your opinions, get on the Travelers Log. I love the questions. Thank you, DJ Greek Ball. You know, that was fun. That was cool to talk about all that stuff. And just kind of, I think it's good too, because I know we talked about that at the beginning of the podcast, but we are 136 episodes in. It's probably good to give a little bit more context about our relationship and things that we love.
Yeah. We probably talked about that on episode one or two.
Now, do you have a rec for us this week?
I have a great rec for us this week. An outdoor fire on a chilly evening is my recommendation. I finally got a truck this year. I've been getting wood, picking it up on the side of the road, getting it from friends' houses and stuff. Getting wood from friends is what I'm all about.
Yeah.
But I've had at least four or five outdoor fires this week. And I'll just get done with work and I'll be like, I don't want to go sit in front of the TV. Yeah. Don't like been sitting in front of a screen. I'll go out and chop wood and make a fire. And
chop wood. You need to record that and post it on TikTok, dog. That's some content.
That's some content. I'd take my clothes off, chop some wood.
That's some good content right
myself
there.
Myself up right there. But that's my grounding meditation with my chakra is going out for a good fire. But what about
chop
you?
Wood. I just thought the wreck chopping wood as well.
Chopping wood.
No, my wreck is actually Allie's wreck because I don't know if I'm a big fan of this. I think cinnamon rolls are way better. But Allie's wreck is king cake because it is February and we are coming up on Mardi Gras and she is from New Orleans. But specifically king cake from a place called Haydell's. That's her favorite.
Okay, I was about to say, I've had king cake, man, but it's usually like the shitty Publix or shitty Kroger kind. So
yeah, it's a legit good one. New Orleans king cake. There's a little baby in it. You got to be careful not to chop the baby in half when you're cutting off slices. I think the baby is supposed to represent baby Jesus. I'm not really sure.
there's some story behind
probably.
It. Maybe.
I mean, New Orleans is very Catholic, so I'm going to say yes, it is supposed to represent baby Jesus. But regardless, thank you all so much for joining us. I really enjoy this. I love episodes like this where they kind of sneak up on you and they end up being really fun to talk about.
Yeah, good deep episodes that, trust me, I feel like we start half of these off with going, we're just going to walk through what's going on in this episode. And then we end up talking about really deep shit. So that's why I have a fun time doing it.
The best Adventure Time episodes are the ones that we drop the ball on. Those are the ones that are really hard to talk about. That's what I've learned from doing this podcast. Regardless, y'all, I used to say every Tuesday, we do our best. We're trying. We got a little backlog now, so we'll be coming out with episodes just about every Tuesday now.
We should be at least a month ahead, so this Which you guys good. Will be hearing this. You said February. I think this one's coming out in March. It's going to be a minute.
All right, y'all. As always, you know what it is. I mean, we're deep enough. I probably need to get a new sign up, but for now, party forever.
And let's get it.